Hristos în este. Christ is risen. El Mesih Hakam. Hey, wicked. We're gonna open up with the play like we did, yani that we're accustomed to. And God willing, yani, what, do you remember what the love languages we spoke about before? We spoke about three before. Had tafakkirhum? Wala wahda? Does anybody remember one of the five love languages? Oh, عشان بالانجليزي عشان كده مش فاهمين ما اعرفهمش بالعربي حد يترجم بقى. So remember, the first one was what? Yeah, this is what the topic is. يعني ازاي communicate love to my spouse. But we have يعني there were five. Give that last week was supposed about receiving or giving gifts or receiving gifts. Yes, Sherry. Quality time. Those are the two we spoke about last time. Gives that very good Nabiya. That was the first one. Words of affirmation was the first one. Last week was receiving gifts and quality time. Okay, now we're going to watch the video. If we keep those two in mind, the two we'll speak about today, let's see if you can pick them up from the video, okay?
قصدي القهوة تانت بلاك.
تسلم ايدك.
العفو.
تسلم ايدك حبيبي.
العفو حبيبتي. مستنية حد تاني حبيبتي دلوقتي؟
لا يا حبيبي انا مش مستنية حد.
صالحيني قوليلي.
لا انا كنت مستنية ماما بس مش مستنية حد تاني بجد.
ما كفاية علينا ماما.
بابا.
يا خويا.
منورة يا ماما.
بقولك ايه؟ سي ماما منورة ومفتاح الباب. انا داخل غير هدومي.
ماما بصي مين هنا؟ يوسف ماما هنا.
اهلا يا حبيبتي. ازيك وحشاني.
ازيك يا لينا منوره منوره بالبنت. تفضلي يا حبيبتي. تفضلي
كتر خيرك يا اختي ربنا يخليكي.
تفضلي يا طنطا.
ثانك يو حبيبتي. شكرا.
ازيك يا مين؟
اهلا اهلا
يا حبيبي.
ازيك يا ماما عامله ايه؟ خليكي
مستريحه. ازيك؟
الحمد لله. هاي شيري.
هاي يوسف. هاو ار يو؟
Good, how are you?
Joe, حبيبي.
You. تقييم حاجة النهاردة جو؟
لا.
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 ماشي.
تخيل يا يوسف، ماما برضك تعبت نفسها زي كل مرة جابت المكرونة البشاميل اللي أنت بتحبها.
معقولة؟
لا أنا مش شايفة يا حبيبي.
ليا لوحدي؟
لا يا حبيبي، مش ليك لوحدك. جو.
يلا يا عم ناكل المكرونة.
أيوة.
دي ما تقدرش.
بالراحة بالراحة.
بالراحة.
أيوة.
حبيب قلبي يا جو. طبقك.
أيوة.
أحلى طبق. طبق ايه يعني؟ ناكل كده اهو
نتمزج. كورنر بقى جوه.
عينيا
ظبطنا الله يخليك.
عينيا اكبر حته اهي.
بقى لي ثلاث ايام ما اكلتش.
حته اكبر حته في الصينيه. مع ان ماما عاملاها لي البيض بس لوحدي.
ده انا قلت لك ده مش ليك قلت لوحديك.
عينيا.
ده حتتك اكبر يا جو.
وريني كده؟
لا.
ايه
من الناحيه دي؟
انا تاخد الكورنر يا عم. تاخد الكورنر حلو جميله.
الدنيا مقفله كده ليه؟
احسن.
ايوه كده احسن يا حبيبتي. شكرا ربنا يخليك.
هولها يا حبيبتي هولها.
انا هقوم اجيب لكم البسبوسه بقى اللي انا عاملاها. تجنن. استني
اقعدي. بسبوسه ايه؟ روح هات لهم حاجه يشربوها. يا بخت منظار وخفف.
ماما ثواني.
بنتي بقى بروفيشنال في البسبوسه، انا اللي معلماها لها. كل حاجه بنتي بتعملها تاكلوا صوابعكم كده وراها.
بسبوسه بقى تحفه.
عمايل ايه بنتي؟
ادي الاطباق.
ثانك يو حبيبتي.
تعيشي يا دكتور.
You look delicious. Thank you, حبيبتي.
سلم ايديكي.
ربنا يخليكي يا طنط. دوقي بقى وقولي لي. اتفضلي يا طنط.
سلم ايديكي يا حبيبتي.
بس بصة بنت.
حلوة. يا شير. Thank you, نسرين.
دوقي بقى وقولي لنا.
هو ده يا حبيبتي حلو ولا حادق؟
دي بسبوسة يا طنط.
لا باين لها لا حلوه ولا حادقه.
في ايه مالكو؟ ما البسبوسه حلوه هي، وريني يا بنتي. بس العالم دي بس مش عارفه تقول ايه ولا ايه. مالها ما حلوه اهي، جميله وزي الفل. حلوه حلو. الخيبه اللي احنا فيها دي كسفتينا. خدي يا بنتي يا حبيبتي، لكن مش هقدر اكلها. حلوه زي الفل بس مش هقدر اكلها عشان السكر يا بنتي. تسلم ايدك يا حبيبتي.
خلاص اوكي.
بصي يا طنط، البسبوسه بتاعتك احلى مليون مره.
ربنا يخليك يا حبيبتي. انت عارفه ان انا عمايلي شكلها ايه؟
اخي انا شايفك شقيان، عمال رايح جاي وتجيب في اطباق وعمال تاخد المطبخ طالع. ايه اللي انت بتعمله ده؟
ايه غلط؟
انت لازم تبقى كين. مالي مركزك كده قاعد الناس كلها تحط رجل على رجل الناس يخدموك. King, the Lord of the Ring, King of the Hell, Fast and Furious 7.
ده
ده ده ده الفيلم اللي أنا كنت عايز أتفرج عليه. بس بس المهم في الآخر لازم تبقى راجل كده مالي مركزك، قاعد كله من كبير لصغير يخدمك. زي هوريك example. شيري كوباية مية بسرعة. شوف دلوقتي بتعمل ايه.
ولا سألت فيك.
هي دي الرجولة. كينج. مش مهم بقى اللي يحصل بعد كده.
نفسي ابقى زيك لما اكبر. ايه؟ حطيك حتة كمان؟
ما احنا قاعدين مع بعضينا. متقلقش متقلقش. طيب. جو بص ورا كده. أمك وحماتك. كلاش اوف ذا تايتنز.
كلاش اوف ذا تايتنز ايه يا عم؟ ده سوبر بول 50. أمي وحماتي. ما تيجي الأم تتسلى.
تعال.
يلا.
من جميلة هي ماما.
ما أنا عارفة يا حبيبتي.
طيب بقى تحبوا تشربوا إيه؟ شاي؟
يا حبيبتي.
وانت شيري يا ماما؟
شاي يا قلبي.
وانت شيري؟
شاي.
خلاص اوكي انا هقوم اعمله.
انتوا عارفين المفروض الواحد في الفالنتاين ده يقضي ويعيش حياته كده، هاف فن مع اصحابه. مش تقولوا لي بقى دباديب وورد وكلام فارغ من ده.
بقول لك ايه يا حبيبي، خليك انت في اكلك. الفالنتاين دون يا حبيبي للست والراجل يخرجوا مع بعض ويتهنوا مع بعض، ويجيب لها هدايا ويجيب لها فساتين ويدلعها، مش يجيب لها حتة زرعة.
ايه ده ايه ده ايه ده؟ احنا هنتغلب ولا ايه؟
ايه مع الكلام اللي انت بتقوليه ده؟ مش المفروض الراجل في الفالنتاين داي يخرج مع اصحابه ويتبسط ولا ايه يا شيري؟ الكلام مش ده مظبوط؟
صح يا طنط صح، كل كلامك صح.
الست ما هي بتتعب، بتربي تخلف العيل وبتطبخ وبتمسح وبتكنس وبتاخد العيال توديهم الاكتيفيتي بتاعتهم، شغاله وطفحانه الدم زيها زي الراجل. اللي الكلام اللي انت بتقوله ده،
انت سامعه يا ماما الكلام اللي هي بتقوله ده وراضيه عنه؟ انا عايزك تقومي حالا تديها. ها اسمعيش.
ايه مع الكلام اللي انت بتقوليه ده؟ مش ده واجب الزوجه تطبخ وتربي العيال وتعمل كل حاجه في البيت ولا ايه يا شيري؟
صح يا طنط صح، زي انت ما بتقولي.
انا بحب اساعد نسيم في كل حاجه في البيت يا طنط.
كل ده بياخده
ما تقومي يا شيري حبيبتي شوفي الشاي اللي بيعملوه على سبرتاية ده، استعجليهم شوية.
اوكي I'll go check on the coffee.
اوكي يا حبيبتي.
Nasreen, what's taking you so long? أنا خلاص خلصت.
Nasreen, Tante has been waiting for it.
أنا خلصت خلاص. يعني في إيه؟ مالك؟ أنتي النهاردة غريبة. من ساعة ما Tante دخلت بتوضبي لها القعدة وكل حاجة صح 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 يا Tante. هي ماسكة عليكي زلة؟
زلة؟ آه بزلة. لا مش ماسكة عليا بزلة.
ودي أشرح لها إزاي دي؟ أنتي بتعملي كده ليه؟
Nasreen, you don't even know. She's driving me crazy. جبلني دي والعوزة دي ومن فضلك بس حتة بومبوني. Oh, can you please do this for me? Non-stop asking me to do things for her, never saying thank you. I don't know what to do anymore. She's controlling everything. She keeps interrupting us every time we have quiet time. For example, one day I made a beautiful dinner for us. I turned down the lights, I put on the soft music, turned the candle on, and you know what she did? Ya habibi, oh ya dahri, rigli warma, tala shufta alha guza, tala an hamut, hamut. Do you think we had a nice night? I don't know what else to do.
بس مش من one situation تعملي اللي انتي بتعمليه ده كله.
One situation that you have no idea. One situation is every day, all the time. We never have time with each other anymore. We never talk. We never hug. We don't do anything. And this is only just a few things. I'm going to tell you about some of the other things that's happened.
Oh, hi, Vanessa. Yeah, this is Sherry. What can I help you with? Oh, you want me to work night shift? You want smoke?
Okay, well, I have to talk to my husband about it. I don't know if I could do that. It wasn't what we agreed on. Okay. I will let you know by tomorrow, I promise. Okay. I have to talk to him about it. Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye. I don't know. Boss, Amir, she wants me to work weekends and nights. We agreed that I was only gonna work days, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And now she wants me to work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and weekends. What do I do? I don't know. What do I do? Are you listening to me? What do I do? What do I tell her? We agreed that I was only gonna do days, but not weekends and nights. Tell me. I don't know. What do I do? Tell me.
Do you know what you should do?
No. What? Tell me.
Bring me some milk, please.
Milk?
Yeah.
Milk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Please, thank
sure.
you. Thank you.
I don't know what to do. All you ever ask is for him. He's never happy.
Hey, Sherry. Are you done?
I just finished paying the bills. Do you want to look at it and make sure everything looks right?
What is that? I think something wrong. You calculated, right?
Yeah. Look, you have this.
It
yeah.
should be this.
No, let me see again.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think it's right.
Okay. So?
So I paid the bills. I sent out all the invitations for the birthday party.
All right.
Is there anything else I can do to help you?
Yeah. Do you fix this other file for the work?
No, not yet. I'll get to it. I'll get to
it. We need to finish it.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Seem okay.
Yeah, I think I finished it. Is that good?
Mm. Okay. Kind of.
Kind of, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I'm almost done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I helped you, can you help me with something, please?
Help? أساعدك بقى في إيه إن شاء الله.
I'm having a problem writing my resume.
رزمي دلوقتي
for work
ده بعد عشاء بتكلمي في ايه
but I haven't made anything for us to eat
وانا من امتى بطلب منك تعملي عشاء ماما بتعمل لنا كل يوم العشاء
well Since the food is already made, you can help me. We have time.
طب ايه يا ماما دلوقتي بقول لك العشاء الاكل سخن يا ماما ماما العشاء فين
شيري why you left me
I don't want to talk about it
you didn't even finish your food and you know me I have to finish everything
Amir, look, Amir, I want to be able to talk to you. I want to be able to spend time with you. Like we used to, when you used to hold me and kiss me before you went to work. But now, it's like I try to tell you my problems and you don't even hear me. You're too busy eating all the time. I ask you for advice about my problems at work. And instead you said, can you get me some tea?
With milk, please.
With milk, please. And your mom. Your mom is always interfering in our lives. She never gives us time alone to just spend time with each other. She always has to give her 2 cents. I don't know what to do anymore. I want to open my heart to you. I miss when we used to hug each other and say I love you to each other. And now she's always there. I just want you to open up to me. Open your heart up to me. I don't know anymore. I give up.
You know, Sherry, you're right about the heart. You know what I feel? I feel I have a heart. I feel I have a heart burn. أنا عندي حموضة. ما عندكش أي حاجة. ما عندكش أي حاجة للحموضة.
You have a heart burn?
Yeah.
It's like you didn't even listen to me. I give up. I don't even know what to do anymore.
Mama.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ethan.
مش عايزة تفاحة؟
لا يا حبيب الهنا والشيف. What's going on? What's wrong, Sherry?
What happened?
مالها شيري يا أمير؟ تكون زعلانة مننا ان احنا قاعدين مع بعض؟
ده كلام يا ماما، هو انت بتعملي حاجة؟ هي بس زعلانة علشان أنا عندي حموضة يا ماما، عندي حموضة.
And even when I go into my own kitchen, she's like, برا ده أنا ابني بيحب أكلتي بس. I don't know what to do with her. Oh my goodness.
انت هتقولي لي انت ما شفتيش يوسف اول لما دخلت مامته بالاكل بتاعها دي مجنناهم يا بنتي دي اكننا ما بنعرفش اصلا نطبخ
Now do you understand why I've been doing all this stuff
فهمت انا مش عارفه اقول لك ايه بصراحه ربنا معاكي ربنا يصبرك
فين الشاي يا جماعه وتقعدوا ساعه تعملوا الشاي
حاضر يا طنط
حاضر يا طنط
اجري وديها
Okay, excellent video, and we will try to relate to it throughout the topic. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So we spoke, as we mentioned before, about the first three love languages. And for those of us who are joining, I guess, for the first time, we are trying to discuss how to communicate love to my spouse in the way that he or she will understand. And this is the fundamental, principle in the whole book. How do I love my spouse in the way that they understand? Because ultimately, when we give love, it's giving it as a gift from me to my spouse. And it should be in a way that they understand. So I'd like to just recap a few things before we continue with the rest of the few love languages, the last two. Okay. So, St. John Chrysostom says that marital love is a thing that no possession can equal. For nothing whatsoever apart from heavenly good things is more precious than to be loved by a wife and to love her. So St. John Chrysostom is saying there's nothing more precious on earth than a healthy marital relationship. He says the only thing that tops that is the love in heaven. And then this quote says, love is an unconditional commitment and to an imperfect person. To love somebody isn't just a strong feeling, it's a decision, a judgment, and a promise. So we have to understand that's unconditional love, and we have to understand it's to an imperfect person. Sometimes we come into our wedding, our marriage, thinking that my spouse is perfect, and I have a certain standard. This is how this person will be perfect. And oftentimes, we, after like the first, second year of marriage, realize that this person isn't as perfect as I initially had thought. And we'll discuss why that is a little bit later. Then we said everybody has a love tank. And what we said is this is like our heart. And there is a certain principle that this needs to be filled in order for people to be happy. So as a child grows, if the child is loved and nourished by their parents, he will have a full love tank, and they tend to be more confident children and more stable and able to be socially healthy with other, you know, kids. The same thing goes on in adulthood. People who are filled with love, they can relate to others much better and in a healthy way. So he said, filled love tanks promote healthy relationships. Empty love tanks, however, result in misbehavior and emotional struggles. People who are hungry for love tend to be unstable emotionally. They might blow things out of proportion. They might be extra sensitive. So they're not healthy, the people who aren't filled with love. Filling someone's love tank is an intentional process. Meaning what? Meaning I have to recognize what makes my spouse or this other person happy and do it intentionally. Sometimes this might come natural. For example, if my spouse likes words of affirmation, and she likes me to compliment her on her cooking, on how she looks, on her ability to decorate, whatever it might be. If I'm the type of person from my childhood that likes to give compliments, this is no problem. I will do this naturally, and she'll be receive this as an expression of love. However, if she's the type that wants gifts, and I tell her she looks beautiful, and her cooking is great, this is good and all, but this is not speaking her language. This isn't speaking what she understands. She'll say thank you, but actually this is not contributing much to filling her love tank or his love tank. So the theme was, can we repairing tarnished love through the five love languages, expressing love in these five ways. And this is based on a counselor who was in this business for like 30 years. His name is Gary Chapman, and the book, I think we have some in the back. And he concluded through his many years of counseling that there are five primary ways that people communicate and receive love. And this is what the theme is of what we're talking about. So the first we said, words of affirmation. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So the words of affirmation are words of encouragement. They affirm my spouse. Affirming my spouse's understanding, like how they feel, where they're coming from, how they think. So you affirm them. Doesn't mean you necessarily have to agree with them, but you affirm that you understand how they might feel this way. Appreciate them when they do something. You say, thank you for doing this. This was wonderful. This was great. Sometimes, you know, just as children sometimes kind of get used to mom and dad doing things around the house, they never say thank you. And sometimes, unfortunately, even in married life, we get used to the day-to-day things and we forget to thank our spouses. So words of affirmation are making conscious effort to acknowledge and appreciate them. This doesn't build her in any way or him in any way, but I just want to criticize. Okay. For this was the first one, words of affirmation. The second one, which we discussed last month, was quality time. And we said that quality time means spending one-on-one time with your spouse without interruptions. So it's not like, okay, let's sit down together and watch a TV show. Then what has the attention? The TV show, right? Television, مش مراتي, right? Not my wife or my husband. But this means sitting next to each other, looking at each other in the eye, and having a discussion. How was your day? Talk about the kids. Talk about your future. Talk about problems, whatever it might be. Best, we're talking together in front of each other. So there should be no distractions. Quality conversation. And we said this is basically how he defined it, was sympathetic dialogue, where two individuals are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted manner. And I'd like to say, like, just put emphasis on what we spoke last week about, or last month about this, uninterrupted. I forgot the statistic, but I think it was like something like the average person, when they're in a conversation, can't interrupt the other person for 2 minutes. So 2 minutes is like the max, and then you feel like you have to interrupt. And I realize this, you know, myself, and, you know, as well. Sometimes you feel like, I want to interrupt, I need to, but here, it needs to be uninterrupted. Let the person finish what they have to say and then respond. This is good quality conversation, because we'll find the interruptions will break the thought process, and it doesn't show the person that they value what you have to say or what they have to say if I'm interrupting them constantly. And then we had to develop the art of listening. How do we listen? We maintain eye contact. Listen to feelings, meaning what? Sometimes it's not what they say, but from what heart this, what I'm saying comes from, you know? And then observe body language. You know, this is very important. You know, they say there's a whole study or field about body language and how and posture. So you can tell if they're not looking at you, then there's something wrong. If they're, you know, not turned squarely towards you. So listen to their body language along with their words. You know, I guess in the Egyptian culture, they have a couple. This is very prevalent. I don't know what it is in English, but I'm sure you know you would get the message. If you kida, you came home one day, ولقيت جوزك كده ضرب بوز. Yeah, حد عارف ضرب بوز يعني إيه? Does anybody know what that doesn't mean? This is kind of like, and he's like can't smile, and like he can't look you in the eye. You say how are you? He just kind of looks you and says fine, and that's it. He said he's fine, but the body language says something completely different. So we have to listen to the body language. second to last was learning to talk. Some of us aren't talkers, but when it comes to our spouse, we have to learn to talk. And then quality activities. It doesn't matter what the activity is, as long as we're together and we both enjoy it and we're both willing to do it together. The third one was receiving gifts. So we said the first one was words of affirmation. The second one was quality time. The third one is receiving gifts. Some people's love language is, I like to receive gifts, and this is what makes me feel loved, when my spouse gives me gifts. And a gift is, this is very easy. It's something tangible that expresses love or value. And this can be something very simple. It can be a flower from the garden or from wherever. It can be something that I make out of paper. We were just recently with some family, and there was somebody visiting, and he wanted, Joshua was asleep, my son, and he wanted to do something for him. So he took this piece of paper, folded it in 1,000 ways, and made a bird that can flap its wings. And he left it for him. So of course my son, you know, woke up the next morning, he was thrilled. But he didn't see the man, but he received this as a communication of love. This guy thought about me, this is what I'm saying. He didn't communicate this, of course, because he's 4. But he received this as an act of love because he thought about me and left me something. So what if we did that with, you know, our spouse? What if one day I say I'm going to look something up? Even if you don't know how, Google's amazing. You can find out anything on Google. Has anybody ever been on a cruise or wherever, and they put the towels in a certain way in the bed, right? So maybe you can Google how to do that for your spouse. You don't have to do anything, right? You have the towel at home. You just don't have to know how to fold it. Something very simple, but it communicates love. This can be a gift. It's not about the price or the cost. So gifts can be purchased, made, or even found. So the fourth that we'll talk about today is acts of service. This is, like we saw in the video, can be very powerful because it shows, you know, that a sense of honor for the person and you're willing and wanting to help. So the acts of service are things you know your spouse would like you to do. And these are seeking to please him or her by serving her. Somebody's acts of service might, or somebody's love language might be acts of service. When my husband mows the lawn, this communicates love to me. When my wife has dinner ready, or at least, you know, being prepared when I come home, this communicates love to me. When my husband keeps my car clean, this is an act of service, but to me, it's a communication of love, okay? So I mentioned many here, cooking, setting the table, for example. When my husband sets the table with me, and we'll get to this, but sometimes we have these stereotypes and we categorize what is the man's role and what is the female's role in the house, and then we stick to it. But sometimes when we break this stereotype, this is an added communication of love. You know, oh, the man setting the table, no way. I come home, I work, and I want everything to be ready. But how about when I come home and then I help set the table? This is like if my wife's love language is acts of service, this would go a long way. Washing dishes, vacuuming, yard work, cleaning, maintaining cars. Acts of service require thought, time, planning, effort, and energy. Acts of service, you know, it's not like going buying a gift, or it's not like saying a word, but actually this takes maybe the greatest effort to do, because you're sacrificing your time to do something for someone else. You have to think about and plan, okay, what am I going to do and how I'm going to do it? In the book, it mentions an example of like a husband who's never did laundry before. And his wife said, if you do the laundry, this will be like communicating love to me. So he said, okay, I'll do laundry. So he takes all of the clothes, puts in like the only one that was there or that he noticed was the bleach. So he put the colors in with the bleach, put them in the thing, and everything came out polka dot. So she, although he messed everything up, but she, just the fact that he tried was a communication of love for her. And she helped him, and he, of course, and he had to learn how to do things right. But this showed her that he loved her and was willing to learn. So sometimes the acts that our spouse wants requires an effort on our behalf to learn how to do. And it's important when we do the act of service that it's done in a positive spirit. This is key. If it's not done with a positive spirit, as I want to give this, then actually it can communicate the opposite. It can communicate, you know, that he's doing this غصباً عنه, or because he, you know, he feels like he has to. And this will not communicate love at all. Anybody that does anything forcibly is not a communication of love. Of course, we see the prime example of Christ washing the feet of the disciples. And he told them this, he who wants to be greatest among you has to be what? Has to be your servant, right? So he, who's the master, is washing the feet of the disciples. And he said, serve one another in love, as St. Paul said. So how do I know what acts of service my spouse desires? How do I know what it is that she wants me to do? See if you can relate to this. I resent his demanding spirit. It was as if he were trying to make me be like his mother. Remember in the video? I think Amir, he wanted Sherry to be like his mother, right? Do this, do that, just feed me and I'll be happy. So, Taban, it's very resentful when we try to force somebody to serve us. And it's important to realize that requests give direction to love, but demands stop the flow of love. And this is very important. We often demand things of our spouse, and maybe we say it in a, you know, sometimes we can say it in a suggestive manner, but it's a demanding spirit. Yani, can you please take out the trash or else? If you want to have dinner, take out the trash. This is now, you know, so this is like a request, but then there's like a penalty. If you don't do it, you're not eating. For this is like a demand. And love never demands. Love never demands. Love requests. Why? Because it gives the person the option of obeying or not. This is actually, you know, Saint Paul expresses this beautifully in his letter to Philemon. It's one chapter. I suggest you read it when you go home. But as Saint Paul is writing a letter to Philemon, who had a runaway slave that Saint Paul ran into, converted to Christianity, and is sending him back. And Saint Paul, being in a position of authority, he says, I want to appeal to you, not to, you know, Muruk. I don't want to command you, but I want to appeal to you. Why appeal? Because it gives him the option of abiding by it or not. And if he does, then it's his own choice and he gets a reward for that. Anybody that does something out of demand, they don't get a reward for it because I have to do it. But when I go above and beyond, then this is where the reward lies. So requests give direction to love. So how do I know what my spouse wants? You'll see. She'll ask you, okay? Or he'll ask you. Or ask them. If they don't share it, ask them, what would you like me to do that would communicate love to you? if you feel that her primary love language or his primary love language is acts of service. We have to remember that love is always freely given and cannot be demanded. What is this? A doormat. Okay. Let's see if we can relate to this. I have served him for 20 years. I have waited on him hand and foot. I have been his doormat while he ignored me, mistreated me, and humiliated me in front of my friends and family. I don't hate him. I wish him no ill, but I resent him and no longer wish to live with him. So this is what Sherry was to Amir, just a doormat. Why a doormat? Why do I say a doormat? It's not like an insult, because the doormat is an inanimate object, meaning that it does nothing. I can move the chair like this. I can kick the chair. I can throw the chair. I can do whatever I want to and won't say anything, right? So when we objectify our spouse and demand them to do things, then we basically telling them that you're like a chair or my doormat. And this, of course, nobody will accept this or should accept this, and it's certainly not a way to communicate love. If you treat your spouse as an object, you preclude the possibility of love. What this means, if you treat your spouse like this, like a doormat, then there's no way that there can be love between the two of you. There's no way. If I'm making demands, know that as soon as I make demands, love is gone. Christ, when he gave us his commandment, did he demand us to abide by them or did he request us? All in favor of requests. Yes, it's an appeal. He tells us what's right and he tells us the consequence, but at the end of the day, it's up to you. It's up to you. And mind you, he gave his love regardless of our response. Regardless of our response. Sometimes we'll say, you know, could there possibly be a way out if my spouse doesn't want to do anything? Yes. There's the same author told a story, and I think I said it once in one of my sermons, but he's told a story about how this man, the wife was desperate. She was on her way to go get a divorce. She saw his sign, stopped in and said, you know, I just saw your sign and I figured I'd stop by before I went to the lawyer's office. And she began to tell him all the things that they did and how he's so closed and everything. And then he said, okay, I'm going to do an experiment with you. Let's try to give him love in his language for like 2 months and see how he responds. And certainly, sure enough, to make a long story short, she started doing these things and he would be cold in the beginning. And then he's like, what are you up to? You know, why are you doing this? Whatever it is, it's not going to work. Week after week, she'd come back to meet with him. And then his tone started to change. And then his tone started to be like, you know, thank you, this is nice and all, but what can I do for you? So he was left with nothing. He had to respond to this love that was being poured because it was his love language. It was the way that he understood it. So if we communicate love to our spouses in the way that they understand it, there will be a difference, even if the person, you know, is like hard-hearted. Sometimes manipulation comes into play. Manipulation by guilt is not the language of love. Again, if we say like this, manipulation would be like, if you want to be like a good wife, you should do this. Here, that is manipulating, right? If you want to be categorized in the good wife, or sometimes we even use Christianity. We'll say, if you want to be a good Christian, you should submit to your husband. They'll take the things, the verses and things that they like, and manipulate you by these verses. It works, you know, vice versa. So manipulation will never be a way to communicate love, and it will never be understood as such, because it's kind of like twisting somebody's hand. So, a question. What do we do before marriage? What do we do before marriage is no indication of what we will do after marriage. So what we do before marriage is not necessarily an indication of what we do after marriage. Why? Has anybody experienced this? Everybody. Everybody's smiling but doesn't want to raise their hand. We should split. Huh? We're not trying to be ourselves? Okay, so this is one. So before marriage, sometimes we're not trying to be ourselves, right? Okay, you're not living with each other. So why, you know, what's the difference? You're getting there. Yes. So this is like a mask. It's like the in love mask. You know, when we're in love, we'll do anything, we'll do it happily, right? And then after about, we get married for a year or two, khalas, to become like, you know, one of the guys or one of the girls, just kind of brothers and sisters. No, you know, khalas, we get used to each other. So all the masks come down. I don't need to impress, khalas, she's already married. You know, I know somebody actually that put on a mask, and on the way to the honeymoon, they were fighting. The mask came off very quickly in this relationship, you know. But most of us, it lasts a little bit longer, 1 to 2 years. But things start to go as normal, as I am. There are no like barriers between me and the person anymore. Everything's, you know, no mask, everything comes off. So before marriage, we're in the in-love obsession. Then after, everything goes to normal and are influenced by many things. By our parents' responsibilities, our perceptions of love, our emotions, needs, and desires. Sometimes our stereotypes affect our ability to communicate love. Everybody know what a stereotype is? Somebody give me a rough definition. Nobody knows what a stereotype is? Maybe that will help. Stereotype is kind of like we categorize people, you know, based on like traits. So all men, all women can't drive, okay? This is like a stereotype, right? All men are slavish pigs. You know, this is another stereotype. You know, Egyptians are keza. So we put people in categories. Sometimes we have these categories in our mind. I'll ask you a question. What influences your idea of marital roles? What do I mean by this question? What is it that influences you or influences your understanding of the male role and the female role? This is not a rhetorical question. I want you to answer. Yes, Sherry. Yes. Watching how your parents interact is probably the primary way that we identify what the male role is and what the female role is. And this is where it lies many problems in marriage, because we marry the person wanting them to be like for me, I married my wife so she can be like my what? My mother. If I'm the woman, I marry my husband so he can be like my dad, okay? So we form our ideas of what they should do based on our parents. And actually, this was the only way that we understood back in like the 50s and 60s. But how else now? How else, you know, what else shapes our understanding of these roles of men and women in marriage. The culture, right? The society we live in. The society and the culture we live in identifies it. Like, say, for example, like in our culture here, in terms of like domestic violence, right? Maybe in Egypt or in the day, the husband can hit the wife, whatever. Right? But here, it's considered like domestic violence and like khalas, and you call the cops, they can come, you're going to go to jail. So the culture has a part in this, you know, identifying what the male and female role is. What else?
How so?
So working women, how would that identify what the female role is? I know, yani, typically the female doesn't work in like in the old day, and now the female works. So this is a characteristic or a stereotype. But how is, what is it that affects our, how we identify what the man's supposed to do in marriage and what the female is supposed to do in marriage? We said our parents, and we said our culture. What else? How so? Okay, I can understand, but maybe before you have kids. And this becomes, any. This is the at the request of the kids. So it's not my understanding of it. We would do anything, Yani Taban, for our children. What else would affect how we identify? How about the media? How about the media? And I think this is the biggest one that our generation and our children will face. Is how does the media portray what the female should do and what the male should do? Yes, the media. Media. TV, internet, all these, you know, different social media, all these things. There was a book recently that yani is horrible, and I hope nobody read it here and nobody goes and sees the movie. It's called The 50 Shades of Grey. Horrible. Horrible movie. And yani, this book, yani, I saw somewhere on the trailer on YouTube, got 70 million hits. 70 million people saw the confusion of this, of what a female should be. A distortion. It's utterly terrible. And this is what the media is feeding. So if my daughter saw this movie or reads this book before she gets married, does she feel like this is how I should be? This might affect her, how she categorizes herself. This is what I should do, and this is what he should do. He should make all the money, and I should be his slave. Completely wrong. So media also influences, strongly influences how we characterize marital roles. But thankfully, most people will follow role models of their father and mother. In most cases, if they have, you know, a healthy relationship. Sometimes the children will look at their parents and identify the negative qualities. This is not as common, but it's common enough. They'll identify the negative qualities in their one of their parents and not want this in their future spouse. So they'll say, okay, my father was always yelling and hit my mother. I want make sure the person I marry is not, you know, violent in any way. And the ironic thing, oftentimes, if my spouse's primary love language is acts of service, I must be willing to break from these stereotypes. So if my wife's primary love language is acts of service, and then I have a stereotype that the man doesn't cook, or the man doesn't wash the dishes, or the man doesn't clean. In order for me to communicate love to her or him, I have to be able to break this. I have to swallow my pride and say, you know what, I'm going to lend a hand. I'm going to do whatever it is that she feels is a communication of love because I want to give her love, because I love her. Okay? So this is acts of service, physical touch. Physical touch is a strong communicator of emotional love. Says babies, studies have shown that babies who are held, hugged, and kissed develop a healthier emotional life than those who are left for long periods without physical contact. So the children when they're hugged and snuggled and kissed by their parents, they feel secure in the love and protection of their parents. So therefore, they can interact with the world without fear of losing this love or being vulnerable. Kids who are left ignored and whatnot, they search and yearn for this love. So if they find it in anybody else, they'll become attached, and then they'll be hurt. And then they'll find somebody else, and they'll be hurt. So they'll live their life in search of this love that they never knew existed. And marriage is no different. Marriage is no different. When the emotional love tank is empty, all the way empty, the thoughts of, I wish I never married this person. Could there be a person out there better that would fill my love tank, that can speak my love language? These thoughts begin to enter our mind. Some people will speak like physical touch is their primary love language is physical touch. They can have the same like love language, like if me and my wife both like to communicate love with physical touch, sometimes we can do things that aren't perceived as love. For example, there are different dialects. For example, holding hands. Maybe my wife likes to hold hands. This is a touch, right? Also, touch is like, you know, if you're having dinner, you're reaching out with your foot and touching your spouse with your foot, right? This could be a communication of love if it's physical touch. But maybe your wife hates feet, okay? So this won't be a communicator of love. This would be like, get away from me, right? So sometimes it's not just because, you know, physical touch is her mode of communication or his mode of communication that everything works. But let them be your guide. Some of the different dialects are like holding hands, a kiss, embracing one another, and of course, sexual intimacy or sexual intercourse, which is the most sacred mode of communicating in the bond of marriage. And that's why God actually reserved this act for this specific reason. It's the most pleasurable, and it's a gift from God that he gives to the husband and wife. So actually, regardless of what the primary love language is, this is an important aspect in marital life, and yani, it needs to be, if for whatever reason there's trouble here, we need to seek help. Whether it's professionally or through your father of confession, there needs to be any intervention here. Because again, this is the sacred relationship on which the husband and wife communicate love to one another. Physical touch can make or break a relationship. It can either make it or break it. It can communicate love or hate. They say, of course, like if you have a child, if you slap the child on the face, this would be detrimental to the child. But if you slap a child whose primary love language is physical touch, this will be devastating. This will be any that they'll feel like crippled, they can't recover. But if the child's primary love language is words of affirmation or something else, then yani, it hurts, but this doesn't mean I can't, you know, it'll be easy for me to forgive you. But if it's the child's primary love language is physical touch, and then he gets slapped by the parent, this will take much more effort on the parent's part to recover. I'll tell you a kid a story that just happened a few days ago. I was visiting a family, and they had a little daughter, like maybe like 2.5, 3 years old. And I know she's one of the ones, you know, when Abuna throws the water, right? She's always one of the ones standing in the back cheering me on, okay? So then I prayed in the house, and I threw the water, and it didn't land on her, and she had her back turned towards me. So I took the water, and I just, you know, sprinkled it on her. She turned around and gave me this look and just busted out in crying. And no matter how much I apologized, she wouldn't forgive me. This was it. Like, you did this kind of like behind my back, and I tried to like, you know, play with her and things. No, kiss her, nothing, nothing. But maybe this told me that maybe her yani, mode of communication is physical touch, because maybe yani, this was an offense because, you know, she wasn't ready for it and wasn't ready to receive it. So I maybe thought maybe her primary love language would be physical touch. Tender hugs communicate love, but shouts it to a child whose primary love language is physical touch. Refraining from touching your spouse may translate into feelings of rejection, unloved, and unwanted, especially if this is their primary love language. My spouse doesn't want to have intercourse with me. If she doesn't want to hug, if she doesn't hug me, or he doesn't hug me, or if he doesn't kiss me when they come home, all of these things, if physical touch is a primary love language, this will be like a turnoff, and this is how maybe the spouse will feel rejected. So what to do? This is actually one of the easier ones to learn because you just ask. You ask or you trial and error, okay? If you reach your foot under the table and you touch your wife and she like moves her foot away, this isn't it, okay? So you can try or you can ask, okay? So our spouse is the best instructor in this regard. Something to keep in mind with physical touch is do not insist on touching him or her in your way and in your time. Remember, love is not something that we can push on somebody, but it's something we communicate so that they can receive it. If they're not willing and ready to receive it, then we don't offer it, okay? And it needs to be what? And not in your way and in your time. So not the way I want to and the when I want to, but it should be focusing about them, right? Because then this becomes selfish. This becomes, you know, she becomes something like the doormat. I want something from you and you give it to me and that's it. No, but it needs to be in your spouse's time and in your spouse's way. And if it's not, it might communicate the opposite, that you care little about them and about how they perceive what is pleasant. So if we don't do it in the way that the time and the way that they like, then it communicates the opposite, that I care a little about them and about what makes them pleased. So those are the five love languages. Okay, let's review them again. First one was what? Words of affirmation. The second, quality time. The third, gifts, receiving gifts. Fourth, acts of service. Five, physical touch. So how do we discover, how do we know what language is our primary love language? Because ultimately this is the most important, not only to know your spouse's, but first to know yours. How do I identify what mine is? Somebody might say, you know what, Abuna, I can't tell you one, because there's one primary and then you can have the rest kind of in order. Somebody might say, you know, I like physical touch and words of affirmation, okay? So somebody says, you know, whenever my wife has intercourse with me, I feel like I'm loved. But then the question becomes, okay, what if she criticizes you and she humiliates you? Would this still be something prejudicial? Probably not. It's something I withdraw from. So actually here, what becomes the primary? The words of affirmation, okay? So sometimes, you know, we can get confused about ourselves. So how do we identify what our primary love language is? Three things. What does your spouse do or say, or fail to do or say, that hurts you deeply? Ask yourself this question. What does your spouse do or say that hurts you most deeply? This will help you identify what it is that is my primary love language. If my wife, every time I come home, doesn't have the food ready, and this really hurts me deeply, and I feel like, Yani, that ruins the whole evening. But if I come home and I smell the food, I'm there, and the food's ready, then the rest of the evening is hunky-dory. So we have to ask ourselves, what do they do or say, or what do they not do or say, that makes me feel hurt? One. Two is, what have I most often requested of my spouse? What is the thing that I feel like I'm always having to ask my spouse? Can you leave the computer and come sit with me? You know, can you leave your work at work and sit with us for dinner? Hereby becomes what? Quality time, right? So the requests that our spouse makes over and over again, or that, you know, I make of my spouse, this will help you identify what your primary love language is. Also examine what you do or say to express love to your spouse. What do I mean here? examine what you do or what you say to express love to your spouse. Why? Because most often, we, unless we're conscious of this, we express love to our spouse the way that I like to be loved. This is very common in the beginning of marriage and can actually take a long time for somebody to realize. Some people don't realize it at all. The way that I love, say for example, yani I come and I get my wife gift after gift after gift because this is what I like, right? But her, wala hina. This tells what? That I like gifts, but maybe she doesn't. So if I want to know what mine is, see how you naturally communicate love to your spouse without any effort, because this is probably what you want. So just a last remark before we take questions. Love is a choice. Love is a choice that we make, and it has to be a choice. No one can be coerced or forced into offering love. Criticism and demands from our spouse tend to drive wedges in our relationship. Remember, everything we have to do has to be a request. You can give guidance to love by making requests, but you cannot create the will to love. So you can guide your spouse by making requests. Can you do this? Do you mind saying this? Whatever it is, you can make requests, but don't demand. If we choose to love, then expressing it in the way our spouse requests will make our love most effective emotionally. If we choose to love, then expressing it in the way our spouse requests will make the love most effective. So say like my wife's primary love language is words of affirmation, right? If I give her a gift, that's fine. She'll appreciate it. She'll say thank you. But to be most targeted and most effective, then I give her a compliment, okay? So the rest are good, but if you really want to fill the tank, you have to hit that one right on the nose. And lastly, when an action does not come naturally to you, it is a greater expression of love. So if I don't know how to cook, and I don't know how to clean, but I take the effort to learn how, this won't add like double to your wife's love tank. Because you know what? He values loving me so much that he's willing to go out of his way to learn how to do it. This shows a great amount of love. We'll take the last 10 minutes here if anybody has any questions or comments or anything they want to add. I didn't prepare any worksheet because I thought maybe you would rather just ask questions, and then actually I maybe thought there would be a game. But we don't have a game. So if you have any questions or comments, we can answer them now. If not, we can pray. Does anybody have any questions? Just while you guys do that, if you have any questions, some people were under the impression that in order to come to this meeting, both spouses have to attend. And this isn't true. If you know anybody that wants to come, even if their spouse doesn't come, please invite them to come. At least one person, will hear and can deliver the message. And as we said, even if my spouse is not willing to cooperate, but understanding this principle of communicating love in the way that they request, this is very important, and it can change even the person who doesn't know this principle. It can change it. Yes, Nabil. No, actually, maybe we should ask Sherry. But actually, I think this will communicate more love because I'm doing it even if I don't like it. But it needs to be with a positive attitude. Hey, ultimately, all of us, we want to tell our spouse that I love you, right? If you don't want to say I love you, or if you don't love them, then we have a problem, okay? But ultimately, when we get married, and you can ask yourself, okay, I might say now that I don't love you, but we have to think, when we were courting, when we were dating, what was it that, drove our love? What was it that she, heard or saw in me that made her feel loved? What is it that I saw in her or him that made me feel loved? Okay? So, yani, I think that's a good thing. It's in, you know, it's moving in the right direction. Okay. It says, this question is a good question. It says, taking time, talking about quality time, is it right or okay every once in a while to go out with spouse and leave the kids with family or babysitting? Absolutely. Because if the husband and the wife do not have this strong bond together, these are the pillars that hold the family together. So whether it be spending this quality time when the kids are asleep, if you want to go out together, yani, the most important thing is that you guys are together. It's not about the activity. So it's not about, okay, we'll go to, you know, a movie and watch a movie. In my opinion, this movie is not the quality time. Maybe the car ride there and the car ride back is. But the movie is just, yani, there. We're just, you know, each eating our popcorn and drinking our drink and enjoying a show. It's not quality time. So yes, if you're going to, you know, it's okay to send your kids to family if you're fortunate enough to have family here. And go out with one another and have a date night. Absolutely. Big proponent of that. So everybody should try to speak the language of the other. Yes, and this is the message, is that we need to speak the language of love that they understand, not that I want to give. Because it's not about me, right? If I want to love somebody, then I love them as they want to be loved. You know, or the way that they need to be loved. Christ loved us, and he saw the need was to give himself up for us. So he did it. So he did it. And he died on the cross. So he didn't do this for himself because he was already in heaven, right? So it wasn't something personal. So love is, the idea of love is to give. And when I give it, I want to make sure that this is, you know, it means a lot to the person that I'm giving it to. Okay. Somebody also, man, he made a good comment. They said, I want to tell everybody to focus on the good thing on him or her. It really works. Absolutely. If we can keep our yani focus on the good, yani, this will certainly help. And I think this comment is coming from somebody who has a full love tank. If I feel loved by my spouse, it's very easy to look and find the good. But across the board, if I feel that my love tank is empty, then it's very difficult for me to find anything good. Even the mowing the grass and washing the car, this isn't good because this is taken away from our quality time. You see? So, yeah, this comment tells me that this person has a full love tank because they're able to find the good in their spouse. That's it? Okay. All right. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.